Weather's Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right, everybody, it is here. The long wait is over, or almost over. It is game week as we are approaching Sunday night's game against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Welcome to the show. Mario Cristobal joins us in one moment. Also on the show tonight, you'll hear from Shannon Dawson, Hurricanes offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator Corey Heatherman. All of that coming up here in the next hour on the hotline. Sunday, we get underway at 3 o'clock with our pregame show. Danny Rabinowitz, Brian Monroe, Tim Reynolds, Don Bailey, Josh Darrow, Christy Chirinos. I'll make an appearance. So we have a loaded pregame show for you coming up on Sunday, beginning at 3 o'clock with kickoff just after 7:30. Miami and Notre Dame, the Irish are loaded, my dear friends. They've got a great team, went to the national championship game a year ago. They think they're better this season than they were last year. They do have a new quarterback in C.J. Carr. I think they're going to play both of them. I think in running situations, they'll play Kenny Minchie. He's more of a runner than Carr, so I think we'll see them both. I'm ready. I'm on high alert for both quarterbacks, but we'll see. C.J. Carr, either way, neither guy has really played in an environment that he's going to see on Sunday night, and hopefully it'll be very loud at Hard Rock, and I suspect it will be. I know Hurricane fans already have the eye black underneath their eyes, faces painted, and ready to go for Miami and Notre Dame. And you look at the overview of that game, it is stop Notre Dame's run game, protect Carson Beck. They're really good with their edge rushers. They released their depth chart today, by the way. A little bit undersized at times on the defensive line, depending who they put in there. But they are going to depend on Boubacar Traore, who they think is a great pass rusher, and Bryce Young, those two guys at defensive end. They're going to start Donovan Heinisch at defensive tackle, who's a little bit undersized, and they're going to start Jason Anye at defensive tackle, not undersized, 300 pounds. Their starting linebackers are going to be Snead and Bowen. Bowen 235, Snead 230. They were good against the run last year, Notre Dame. They took the ball away 33 times, sacked the quarterback 40 times, held opponents to under 140 yards a game on the ground. At any rate, got to stop their run game, got to protect Beck. And their special teams were really terrific a year ago. So, you know, they're going to have something up their sleeve, some kind of chicanery with their special teams. All right. So that's kind of my overview of it. For more, let's move on now to the Mario Cristobal Show. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki alongside Don Bailey Jr. and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal, year number 4 for the Coach Cristobal Show. Man, time is flying by. Miami and Notre Dame on Sunday. Before we dive into Notre Dame, first thing is this, wear orange. The request is to wear orange on Sunday. It's an orange out for the University of Miami, so gather all of your orange and be loud as well for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. We'll get into that matchup in just a little bit. Coach, thanks for being with us. As always, great to see you. Training camp has transitioned into game prep, but before we get into game prep, what was the best part of training camp for you?
The competition. You know, guys taking ownership and finding a way to come to practice every single day with purpose and just flat out compete.
Coach, camp is also a time where you identify your leaders. Who have you identified as some of the leaders of this football team, and how did they impress you in camp?
I think some guys are still emerging, but initially I'll say Akeem Mesidor, Ruben Bain, Inez Cooper, Francis Mainoa, Wes Bessaint, Mo Touré, Mark Fletcher, to name a couple. Those guys, and of course, Carson Beck, in a short amount of time, also an excellent leader.
People talk about culture. You've been building culture here for 4 years. That's probably not something that just starts in training camp, right? That probably went all the way back to January, February, March, April. But the identity of your team, How do you see it? Do you like where it's trending?
We like it. We're confident in it. It gets stronger and stronger every single day. And like you said, it started in January, right? This was the winter conditioning workouts, a fourth quarter program, spring football, OTA, summer, right? And then right into fall camp. And every step of the way, our guys seem to get better and better at establishing higher standards and implementing culture.
Big picture development, I think there's no better person to identify than Inez Cooper. I mean, your first year you came in and signed him. He's from small town Alabama and was over 400 pounds as a defensive lineman in high school. And now he's 320, 325 and playing at the top of his game.
Yeah, certainly a great story and an awesome family, awesome high school coaching staff as well. And again, Inez is all about that heart right there. He has got every ounce of every bit of his heart and soul into his craft on a daily basis, and he pours into his teammates as well. Mm-hmm. He's not just an individual performer. He is a great, great teammate.
Coach Carson Beck, he comes into this program. I find some of his numbers very interesting to me. He found a way. He was a winner at Georgia, 24-3 in 27 games. That's playing winning football. 3-1 or more touchdown to interception ratio. He'll go into this game on Sunday with almost 8,000 career passing yards. Maybe let's discuss some of the things that he has brought into the program for you.
Well, just that experience in big games, understanding concepts, understanding coverages, understanding the check system, right? Putting ourselves in a play that's advantageous to us. And even just as importantly, maybe more importantly, getting us out of bad plays. And sometimes just getting rid of the football when it's not there, when there's nothing to be had except a negative play. So I think when you combine all that plus the approach to the game, right, preparation on a daily basis, that right there is key for you got some older receivers that have a good process, and you have some younger ones and some younger quarterbacks that have really benefited from learning from Carson's process of preparation.
Another quarterback that's been impressive all camp is Emery Williams, Coach. He looks like a new man. I mean, physically, every way he moves in the around the pocket, everything he's doing, he's just looks like he's made huge steps.
He really has. You know, I think it would have been easy to just, you know, not put forth the effort and forge forward. And I think when he took a deep, you know, dive into himself and realized, you know what, last year's approach cannot be this year's approach. Right, I have an opportunity to get better and actually compete for the spot. And if I don't, I want to land as close to that spot as possible. And he has been excellent. And his teammates have taken big time notice of it. So we expect a great year out of him as well.
Coach, the other thing about him, he's graduated, right? Two and a half years. I don't think that's ever happened at the University of Miami. I believe it was him and Samson were the two players that jumped ahead and got it done in 2.5 years. That's one heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah, it took you and I double that time, you know, but, you know, new class schedules, right? Clepping out of college credits and then just a ton of hard work. Those guys deserve all the credit.
We talked about identity earlier, and we're on offense right now. Shannon Dawson in his third year with you, is it easier to create that identity on offense with the continuity of Coach Dawson? And a lot of the players also came in with him. Obviously, the new guy in is Carson Beck, but the identity that he is putting into the University of Miami on offense.
Well, I think, it relates to defense. I don't know if you didn't ask that part yet, but with Dawson's arrival, you also had the trench coach in place, Alex Mirabal. Right. With Heatherman's arrival, you have Jason Taylor in place as well. So there's a bit of a foundation there that you could build off of. And Shannon Dawson, he continues to evolve. You know, our deep dive into self-scouting ourselves, our systems, our, you name it, every adjustment formation, our tendencies, it's so extensive that we want to stay on the cutting edge and refuse to have people get a beat on us. And if they do, we have a way to go to something else where we can be more effective, more productive. So he's a consummate professional, an awesome human being. He's surrounded by a supporting cast. That's awesome, man. Those guys get after it. They work hard, and they want to do right by the University of Miami.
Coach, you lost a lot of production in the receiver room, but you return and have infused a lot of talent. Tell us about that group.
No, without a doubt, those guys, they understand that this system, if you run it the right way, if you're at where you're supposed to be at, the ball is going to find you, okay? Now, that being said, you better block to earn that rock as well. And the combination of some of the older guys, you know, like CJ Daniels and Keelan Marion, Tony Johnson, they've blended really, really well with some of the guys that we've had returning, like Ray Ray, JoJo. Those guys have done really well. And then you have some of the new guys that have come in as well. Malachi Tony, Josh Moore, Dalen Upshaw, Chance Robinson is finally healthy, has looked really good out there. Nye Carr is doing some really good things. It's a great blend of older and younger guys, all talented, and they're under the same understanding. You got to work your tail off. You got to work your tail off, and you got to perform, and we're going to make each other better by competing.
I think this is where Coach Cristobal, the general manager, has really zeroed in on the University of Miami, because 5 years ago, whatever it was, you would lose guys out of the receivers, such as Restrepo or George, and the drop-off would be from senior to freshman. And that's hard. Now, guys leave, and you bring in a Marion and a Johnson and a C.J. Daniels, and you look at the amount of catches those guys have. Experience-wise, there is not a drop-off. In fact, you probably are as old or even older than a year ago.
And you have to be. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to perform right away, because there is no easing into this schedule, right? Right away, we play what's arguably the top defense in the entire country and one of the best teams in the entire country. So the test comes right away and continues to come as the weeks go by. So having a group that has both experience and talent and young talent is exactly what we felt was needed for this team to take another step forward offensively.
Coach, you hired Corey Heatherman as defensive coordinator right after last year's season. And I had a chance, of course, to watch him in the spring and then again in the fall. Very, very organized, and the defense is responding to his coaching.
They do. He is he's a tough guy. Mm-hmm. He is a detailed guy. Everything is with intention. There's not a wasted second in the day. Just a great, great teacher. So much passion and energy he brings to practice on a daily basis. And he understands that the mother of all learning, man, the repetition. He makes sure that we're getting the right kind of reps against the right kind of looks, and just looking for ways to get better. Detail and preparation.
You went to work also, much like the receiver room, you went to work improving the secondary, brought a bunch of guys in, and I think you have this combination of players and then the philosophy. And your secondary was described as throwing into that thing is like walking in to one of those fun house of mirrors. Everything is distorted. It's going to be really hard for a quarterback.
Well, we feel we've made improvement. It's certainly I never make predictions on a group or whatnot, but we do know that we have improved ourselves significantly. And the more this group plays together, the better they're going to be. They are bigger, longer, and faster athletes, quicker, good foot and body quickness, great hips, willing tacklers. Guys that can play man coverage, guys that can locate the football, right? Got really good ball skills, can make the contested, jump ball, deflection, or catch. So all in all, I think the competition that's been added there has brought out the best of that group, where everyone knows, like, hey, it's you got to play above the line, and then who gets what reps above that line will be dependent on how we perform in practice.
Coach, you had an outstanding tight end room last year, had a number two draft pick out of that room, number 50 overall, I believe it was. You bring back Lofton this year, who was a freshman All-American. You bring in Bauman, and there's a couple freshmen that come in. That room looks like it hasn't missed a beat.
It's really impressive to see the way that they've taken on the task of replacing those guys. They made a decision that they were not going to allow for a drop-off. And mind you, to me, Arroyo is one of the better players we've ever had in our short time here. He was excellent. And I think Cam McCormick, they passed on a lot of really good stuff. A lot of good just DNA standards and culture stuff to those guys, and they've taken it and run with it, and they've had a great camp, a great offseason. We expect those guys not to flinch at all.
You mentioned competition. We cannot overlook the fact that you have a new kicker this year. Borregales has moved on, competing with the Patriots, and you have two guys out there that are battling. One is a little more experienced, but how is that shaping up?
It's been competitive, those guys. I think they've benefited tremendously from our operation, our snap and our hold operation, and the techniques that go with it. Fundamentally have helped those guys just continue to get better, and has made it a very competitive situation where it's going to go down to the wire to make a decision as to who's going to go out there and kick that ball first. And we, it's one of those things where if they're both deserving, it'll continue to go like that because it shouldn't be treated like any other position. But we have confidence in both those guys. And from the ranges of all the way to 55 and maybe even a little bit more, they have shown that in practice on a consistent basis.
Coach, you talk about competition at the kicker position, but that's what this whole program is about. Competing at every position, every single week. Just because someone is the starter week one doesn't mean it'll be week four or week eight or the 12th game of the season. Every day you have to compete.
It's the only way to get the best out of everybody, mm-hmm. you know, or the worst where you can move on from somebody, you know, and that's just the harsh reality of football. We have to be at our best, and iron sharpens iron only works if you make it happen in practice.
When you drive a Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, you can drive it for three reasons. You can drive for performance, you can drive for range, you can drive to make an entrance. And on Sunday, I am driving the Cadillac XT4 to make an entrance at Hard Rock Stadium. Mrs. Kane's voice and I will be driving into Hard Rock Stadium early, try to beat the traffic. And inside that XT4, because it has plenty of room, will be loaded up for the post-game tailgate, the post-game winning tailgate. Williamson Cadillac, you're looking for an XT4, XT5, whatever it might be in terms of a Cadillac, you're going to find that inventory at Williamson Cadillac. The XT6, the all-new electric Lyric, the CT4, the CT5, Williamson Cadillac, Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, they excel year after year after year, and all of a sudden becomes 50 years in customer service. No place has better customer service than Williamson Cadillac. They're going to treat you like family. You're going to enjoy the world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. Stop by, see my good friend, Jermaine Chambers. Reggie's there. Reggie will, whatever you need, Reggie will make sure he takes care of the situation. Go online, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Check out all of the inventory. Then experience the best customer service you're going to find anywhere. Easy to find, US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
It is Miami and Notre Dame Hard Rock Stadium to begin the 2025 season. Coach Cristobal, you begin 2025 with a blockbuster matchup. Notre Dame last year played here in the Orange Bowl game, then went on to the national championship game. This is a very big challenge to start the year.
And one that we look forward to, tremendous opportunity for our program, a tremendous amount of respect for our opponent. They're ranked top 2 to 5 to 10 in every category on offense, defense, or special teams. They return 4 offensive linemen, which is always a plus, as you know, with what is widely considered the best running back core in the country. But I think what gets overlooked is the caliber of athlete they have at wide receiver and tight end. Those guys down the stretch who watch the playoffs made a ton of plays. Big-time plays, and they've also bolstered that core with a couple of additions in the portal, guys that have had big-time productions, big-time production at Wisconsin and at Virginia. And on defense, with the hiring of Chris Ash, you know, there's overlap in what he's done at his respective stops, but the success of the program also, you know, makes you lean on, okay, there's going to be some type of blend or maybe some more of what they have been doing already, but as he mentioned in his press conference, they have a slew of riches, a wealth of talent like he hasn't seen because they've recruited really, really well. So an excellent program, one that our guys are really fired up to prepare for, and the opportunity to play them on Sunday night.
Each year, the team develops its own personality, but last year, the Notre Dame team, positive 18 in giveaway takeaway, number 5 in America. That's a huge number in today's game.
Without a doubt. Over 30 turnovers forced. They led the country in forced fumbles and recovering fumbles. And I think what's really impressive is they led the country in the conversion rate after getting a turnover. And they were, people might say, opportunistic. It's more an opportunist. They were very violent and physical to force those balls out. You see a team play together, a team play really, really hard. They just do they do a ton of stuff. They can play man coverage. They can play zone. But they have done a great job playing together. And they're big and physical in all their spots.
CJ Carr gets the start, redshirt freshman, but his last significant action really was in a high school game. The grandson of Lloyd Carr, he comes from a football family. How do you prepare? How did you prepare for him? And what do you expect from CJ Carr?
Well, we expect to see him and possibly more quarterbacks, but you prepare for what they have done systematically, both there, maybe some, their coordinator time, but he's spent at other places as well, particularly LSU. So you take a deeper dive into, okay, this is what we might get and how does our system fit in terms of defending what they do. But I think nowadays in football, football's becoming a younger and younger game, if that makes sense, just because guys are training year-round, right? They have personal trainers. They get here early for school. Some reclass a year early. They've got OTAs all summer. I mean, the reps are really adding up. So I think what used to be a freshman is now a sophomore plus. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you could exponentially just add on to that as the years go by. So all in all, we certainly don't judge. If he's there playing, just like if a guy's here playing, he's an excellent football player, and we're going to prepare to the best of our abilities.
Coach, their combination in the backfield almost produced 2,000 yards last year, but also tight end. They've got big, strong guys, and it's almost, I want to say, typical Notre Dame tight ends, but they run very well, too.
They run very well. They stay on blocks, and they finish blocks, right? They force arm tackles, and they have very big, strong physical backs that they don't go down, and they secure the ball really, really well. So it's not only back number one, it's the entire running back core. They do a good job getting them the ball also in the passing game, the form of checkdowns and screens. A very complete offense. They do a really, really good job. You know, we watched them last year just on overlap tape, teams like Louisville, and noticed how creative they were on top of how talented they were.
You can tell Coach Freeman's was a former defensive coordinator. They recruited 20 defensive linemen, so they're really deep at that spot.
They are. They're big and physical guys that are just explosive football players. Like any team, you really want to set the tone up front in the trenches. And certainly they're loaded. They have a lot of high-end talent on both the offense and the defensive lines.
Importance of the home crowd, Coach. That's going to be a big one at Hard Rock. Something special being at home in the opening game and after going undefeated last year at home.
No doubt. Playing at home means the world to us. And I think last year was a great tradition to begin, treating Hard Rock like that, where it was a tough place to play. And our fans, man, this is their opportunity to show exactly what this community, what this university, what the city is feeling, the momentum and the energy of the Miami Hurricane football team, and the opportunity to create just an electric environment on Sunday night.
And wear your orange.
Right. Dress in orange.
Dress in orange. One other note on Notre Dame, these two corners, Gray and Moore, they're really, really good.
High-end NFL caliber talent. They ask those guys to do a lot now. They'll play man coverage, they'll play zone, they'll come on pressure. They're excellent tacklers, they're very opportunistic. I mean, you see one of them chase down a quarterback on a keeper, 45-yard gain, punch the ball out against Louisville. You just see a very talented and well-coached organization.
Has this been fun preparing for a blockbuster game, really start the season with the Super Bowl? There are a lot of great games on the opening weekend. It's fun, I think, perhaps that Miami, who college football is way better when Miami's at the top. The Hurricanes are in the mix of all these big games.
Well, I think two things. Number one, you come to Miami to play in monster games, right? But it's also important to note that for us to continue this trajectory that we're on to really become what Miami needs to become, every game has got to be treated like the Super Bowl. Okay, because in college football nowadays, essentially, every game is a playoff game. You're being judged, you're being moved up and down, right, on a grading scale, depending on how you play each and every week. And it's important to note that every single team has got to be treated with the utmost respect and your best preparation to truly become the team you want to become.
Coach, how do you prepare the players that have come to Miami and they may have come from a smaller school or coming out of high school and they're going to have to play in this game, in this environment, week one? There's nothing. You're not easing into anything.
Yeah, I think, you watch some of the guys that we're recruiting. They'll play in front of 90,000. They'll play in front of two people. They're not fazed by that. We can't recruit guys that have to be acclimating to environments like that, what they're going to be seeing on Sunday and throughout the season. And we were talking about that last night when some of these guys took the field, some of the young guys, and you look at them and like, is that guy going to be phased? I'm like, oh, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think there might be a hiccup here and there, but you know what? That guy's been playing ball since he's been 3 years old, right? Let him go play ball. Let him prepare with detail. Let him prepare with intensity and with discipline, and let him cut it loose on game day.
I imagine conditioning, not only for this game, but really the beginning of the season, big factor. And for the most part, Mother Nature just threw smoking hot temperatures your way during training camp. Up until this week, we didn't have much rain, but participating in the temperature that you practice in during training camp had to be a real positive for you.
We think it is. You know, day one through day five, it kicks your butt. And you know that. You feel it. You feel like you can't breathe or whatnot. But as time goes on, you realize it is, if done the right way, if players push themselves, because conditioning is really a battle between you and you, right?
Yeah.
You know how hard you can go, right? And if you take that approach, you're going to put yourself in the best condition. And when you do that, the game slows down for you. The game's a lot of fun. If you're trying to survive the game, that ain't it. And when you're playing great teams, those guys are going to be in great condition too. So always buckle up, be your best every day.
And Coach, let's face it, conditioning basically starts in January. It's not just August where it picks up.
No doubt. It's an accumulation. You know, you start by setting that foundation when you're doing the longer stuff, right? The four, the three, the 200-yard stuff. And you work your way down to the hundreds, the 80s, 60s, 40s, the change direction stuff, the hoops, the cone drills. Then you start doing all the resistance stuff, right? The human resistant drills, the change direction stuff, the reactive drills to get your body, your joints, all that stuff acclimated to being able to go. And then you got to translate that over to practice.
High school football is underway. Just touch on recruiting real fast. You can't mention any names. Locally, there were some big games for the first weekend, so they're kind of copying college football with big games. On a Sunday night, I guess you would have a lot of recruits for this game, right? Even though it's not on a Saturday, I imagine that sideline is going to be filled with a lot of future Hurricanes.
That place will be jammed with everything and everyone, you know? So certainly looking forward to a tremendous opportunity.
And you've been getting out on this recruiting trail relentlessly. The University of Miami name is really resonating now, not only locally, but across the country.
I look at it this way. Our first full class, they are now true juniors,
right,
or redshirt sophomores. You've seen what our projected classes are right now, both 26, 27, right? Imagine what this roster will continue to look like as the years go by. That was the secret sauce, always was. Had the great opportunity this summer to hang out with Coach Johnson for a little bit. He came by and spoke to the team, and one thing we sat around and talked about a bunch is like, man, we had some great players. You know, make sure you get great players that are great people that will work their butt off for the team, right? And when you have that, a lot of magic happens.
But, Coach, what you determine is a great player. It's not what's on the list. The scouting that goes into it and the interviews, the time you spent with the player, that's the key.
Without a doubt. We do not recruit off of lists. We refuse to recruit off of lists. Now, sometimes it matches up. Mm-hmm. A guy we really want happens to be that. But you'd be the examples are, you know, you talked about Inez Cooper earlier, talked about O.J. Frederick. I mean, the examples go on and on and on about guys that had very little or no notoriety and then exploded on the scene because they had those traits. They just weren't, you know, they weren't part of the, you know, the service, you know, scouting system. So we're going to recruit. We're going to recruit hard. We're going to recruit the right guys. And we're just going to keep going, man.
Okay, week one, I think probably when you lead the team out of the tunnel with the smoke and all that, we don't get earthquakes often in South Florida, if ever. But I think we might have an earthquake on Sunday night.
Well, you know what? Again, tremendous opportunity to make that place as loud and as much like an asylum as you can make it. They know that they could certainly have an impact. So looking forward to it.
All right, Coach. Week one, thank you very much. The very best of luck.
Go Canes.
That's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week on the Mario Cristobal Show.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Okay, on Sunday, Miami and the Fighting Irish
We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock. Kickoff is slated for just after 7:30. Think that joint's going to be jumping on Sunday night? I do. Hurricanes want to be able to run the football, obviously. Want to be able to run the ball when they want to run the ball. They are going to have to get the ball down the field, and they're going to have to work the ball down the field against Leonard Moore and Christian Gray and Devontae Smith, three really good players. Smith, a transfer in from Alabama to Notre Dame, and last year had 30 tackles at Alabama, but it's Moore who's the All-American, and Gray, who had a terrific season as well, although Gray got beat in the championship game by against Ohio State by Jeremiah Smith. And as I kind of think that through, a lot of people got beat by Jeremiah Smith, but he did give up a long touchdown. At any rate, really good secondary. Adon Shuler, one of the safeties, he'll be paired with a former Virginia Tech Hokie, Jalen Stroman, who is a hard hitter at Virginia Tech. Shannon Dawson, I've spent a fair amount of time with him during training camp, and it always strikes me how calm and confident he is with this offense. I think he's got this offense in a place that he is very comfortable with, knows the capability of this offense, coming off a season where Miami was number one in total offense, 537 yards a game, number one in points scored at 43, number one in third down conversions at 56%. Number one in passing offense. So they put up some big numbers a year ago. I think Carson Beck will have a very good season for Miami. He's very good at reading defenses. He showed in camp that he was very good getting Miami into the right play. He moves the ball down the field, which is what you want from your quarterback. He scores points. Very good on third down. In his career, very good at making plays when he's needed to make them. And most importantly, he's found a way to win 24-3 as a starter. So Don Bailey Jr. sat down with Hurricanes offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson and began the conversation with Dawson's thoughts on Carson Beck.
You know, Cam's mentality was exactly what we needed at the time. You know, he injected some confidence in our program, and our offense, and everybody that he interacted with. Carson comes in with a wealth of games under his belt. I mean, if you look at the games he's played in, that's probably the biggest difference between the two is Cam was like lower level and in Washington State. Carson's played in a national championship, SEC championship. Like, he's played in the biggest games there are out there, so nothing's really going to ever faze him in that sense. And so he just has a lot of experience and has played a lot of football, and his football IQ is off the chart. Obviously, personalities, they're different in a very good way. Not everybody's going to be the same. But the amount of experience that both of those guys bring with them is awesome.
And, Coach, one thing you can't deny is 24-3 as a starter. I mean, that's an outstanding record.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people talk about it, but I hear him talk about a lot of quarterbacks that haven't played a game, you know, in the national media. But yeah, he's won a lot of games and in a certain conference that everybody likes to talk about. But for some reason, you know, he's going under the radar right now, which is exactly the way that I want it, exactly the way he wants it. And so he'll be ready to play.
Okay, Coach, last year your offense led the nation 537 yards per game. Nobody, in my opinion, is talking enough about the fact that you had a 1,000-yard rusher in Martinez. It flew completely under the radar.
No doubt. I mean, we've ran the ball efficiently every year, just gotten better. Last year, we were very efficient in the run game, which is the reason that you can be productive in other areas. You know, if you run the ball like we do, it opens up. It makes people come down and play the box, so it opens up areas in the back end that get exposed by really elite quarterbacks, very accurate quarterbacks. And so it is the key to what we do. I know everybody gets enamored with some other things, but running the ball efficiently is the key to what we do. Now, when we get to it, you know, we choose to get to it in different ways at times. But sometimes we come out and we hammer first, and sometimes we come out and we we spread them out first. But ultimately, we're always going to get to it. And it's our running back room this year is as good as it's been since I've been here. And so we're going to lean on those guys and the guys up front for sure at times in every game.
All right, Coach, the offensive line brings back a ton of starts, but James Brockmeyer, the center, he was a great addition. He's kind of sets the front every single play.
He does, and in our offense, the center is vitally important. Not everybody puts as much on their centers as we do. They have to communicate in a way that those guys have to be in tune and have a very high football IQ of what's going on our end and the other side. And so, and James is got that. I mean, he's very smart. He spends a lot of time up here. And so, you know, we're very fortunate to have him, and he really is the starting point of our offense every snap. And so if he doesn't do his job, then guess what? Like, we don't have a chance to do our job. So I'm excited about him and what he brings to the group, and he's a very solid force in the middle, a very talented kid.
Tight end position, you lose Elijah Arroyo, second-round pick, number 50 overall. You bring in Elijah Lofton and then Bauman and a whole bunch of other guys. A lot of production is expected out of that room.
No doubt. And, look, it's next guy up. I mean, we can't have people forever. Eventually, they got to go play in the National Football League. Elijah, great, you know, great player here. And so Lofton, everybody has seen spurts of what he can do, you know, as a young player. And so now it's his time. And so, and Alex has came in and had a great camp. I feel very comfortable with either one of those guys on the field doing everything that we do on offense. And so I do think overall with the tight end position and the skill positions, we're going to be a little bit different than last year in the sense that we have more depth. So we are going to rotate guys a little bit more. And so, but ultimately, I think what you're going to see with that group is the production of those guys are going to be vital to our offense, obviously, because we use those, we use tight ends in a lot of different ways. I mean, they got to play receiver, they got to be in the backfield blocking. I mean, they got to do everything. And so, and those guys are more than capable of doing everything we ask them to do, and they can make big plays with the ball in their hand, which in my opinion is the key.
All right, that's Shannon Dawson, and that tight end position I think is going to be pretty interesting because they have some large human beings. Bauman is 6'5", Luka Gilbert 6'7", Ruskovic is 6'7", Schott, the freshman, he's 6'3". They've got some big guys at tight end. Now, Lofton and Bauman will be the top two, but when others get involved, and Carson Beck is 6'5", he didn't have any problems seeing over the top of the defense. Meanwhile, this game on Sunday, 5 days away, where Miami has to make the big leap is on defense. And I think we'll find out a lot about the Miami defense in this game. Corey Heatherman last year at Minnesota, ninth in points allowed, 16 points a game, fifth in total defense, 285 yards a game, 12th against the run, 109 yards, and ninth against the pass, 176 yards. If Miami hits those metrics on Sunday night, they're going to win the game. Especially that 109 yards against the rush. Now, I believe Notre Dame, right off the bat, they're going to target Justin Scott and Moten and David Blay and see what Miami has in the middle of their defense. Hurricanes, Mesidor, and Bain have to be great, but I think Notre Dame's going to target the three that I just mentioned. Meanwhile, Don Bailey did sit down with Corey Heatherman, and he began the conversation by asking him, how can he duplicate the success he had at Minnesota here in Miami?
You know, I think that's the foundation, is just trying the, you know, the details and, you know, the fundamentals and the techniques on how we try to coach it. I think the number one thing is we got to make sure we stop the run. We want to make sure, you know, offenses, we're going to try to make them one-dimensional on that side of the ball, and that's the foundation, is stop the run, and then after that, try to, you know, defend the pass game as they go forward.
Coach, you look at your secondary, a lot of new names, but you've had the spring and then, of course, all the camp. And is it getting solidified in the secondary?
Yeah, I think, you know, really top to bottom, all three levels. You know, guys are competing. We had a really good spring football. I thought guys developed all summer. Our strength and conditioning program did a really good job with them, getting them ready and developing. And then, you know, fall camp, I think there's been some guys that, you know, we feel really comfortable putting on the field. You know, it's you're going to see different guys in there. You'll see different rotations. You'll see a lot of different guys on the field, and it's because guys have kind of earned that role as they've gone through camp here.
Coach Mo Torre from Rutgers, you were there when Miami played Rutgers in the pinstripe game, but he's a guy that you bring in from Rutgers, Miami does, and he's got 37 games experience, 168 tackles. What a blessing he is for this defense.
Yeah, he's a guy that knows the structure, and you know it's a little bit different now than it was there. You know, different style a little bit, just trying to figure out personnel and where guys are and what our strengths are here at the University of Miami. But he's a guy that's familiar with the coaching style. He's familiar with the style of play where, you know, we're going to be a physical football team. We're going to swarm to the football. We're going to communicate really well. And, you know, he's a guy that, as he came in the fall camp, has kind of helped develop that within the defense as far as how fast we play.
All right, that's Corey Heatham and Mo Torre, 236 pounds. Bassaint just maybe under 230 pounds. So Miami has some thumpers at linebacker, and then across the secondary. We'll see how that all juggles out with Frederick and O'Connor and Lucas and Brown and Brantley and Poyser and Thomas and Day and Williams and Scott and Taylor. So plenty of different combinations for Corey Heatherman. It all gets underway on Sunday. Our broadcast begins at 3 o'clock. Hope you'll join us for the entire marathon pregame show. Dan Day will start things off on Sunday, 3 hours before that. So I think beginning about 12 o'clock, you'll have Miami-Notre Dame discussion. And then at about 7:41, somewhere in there, the Hurricanes will come out of the tunnel. The stadium will explode, and we'll be off and running for the 2025 season. Don't forget to wear your orange, and don't forget to empty your lungs when Hurricanes, especially when they're on defense in the beginning of the game. Okay. So that sets the stage. 5 days to go, 5 days to tank up and get ready for Miami and Notre Dame. As I mentioned, 3 o'clock, we'll be on the air, 7:30 kickoff. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Thanks to Mario Cristobal, Shannon Dawson, Corey Heatherman. Trevor Harris has been our producer, and we will talk to you on Sunday from Hard Rock Stadium, and go Canes.